Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The change will bring immigrants out of the shadows and into a system which creates public records that, if necessary, can be accessed by law enforcement and others to ensure that we know who is here and we give people a real identity.
Governor Spitzer, of course, talking about his proposal to give legal driver's license to licenses to illegal immigrants. And, of course, when the federal government failed to enact comprehensive immigration reform this summer, what it really did was left state and local governments to muddle through as best they can. And as we look around the tri-state area here, that has resulted in moving in some very different directions. So while Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani fends off charges of having run a sanctuary city where undocumented immigrants were protected from deportation by city employees, New York's governor there has just decided that the state will issue those driver's licenses. Today's paper also had news from Connecticut and New Jersey in the Times, and the struggle with this issue in those states is playing out in different directions, including Danbury, Connecticut, trying very hard to round up illegal immigrant day workers and get them deported. I am joined now by two New York State senators, Jose Serrano, the Democrat who represents parts of the Bronx plus East Harlem and Roosevelt Island. He's the son of Congressman Jose Serrano, in case you were wondering, and by John Flanagan, the Republican who represents parts of Suffolk County that include Farmingville, which has also been a flashpoint for illegal immigration issues. We will also hear later from the mayor of Danbury, Connecticut, about how the local response to illegal immigration in his town is being challenged in court as they round up those day laborers and as people accuse them of singling out Hispanic drivers for traffic stops just in case they turn out to be illegal. But for now, welcome to WNYC, Senator Serrano, and welcome back, Senator Flanagan.
It's great to be with you.
Thanks.
And let's just talk about Governor Spitzer's driver's license policy for the moment to allow illegal immigrants to get a New York State driver's license with a valid foreign passport. Governor Pataki had tightened requirements in 2001 before 9/11 to require a social security number, but that's been dropped. Senator Flanagan, what's your reaction, and are your constituents talking about this?
Actually, we're getting a lot of calls on this in particular, and my reaction is that this is a ridiculous policy. It's an outrageous twist that shouldn't be taken. And what nobody, I really haven't heard people talking about enough is what the governor is doing is completely illegal. His actions are not within his authority. There are existing statutes on the books. He is acting in direct contravention of state statute. He was the attorney general for 8 years and was charged with enforcing the law, but now as governor, he seems to feel he doesn't need to do that. He can't act in this fashion without the input and the imprimatur of the legislature. There was a statute enacted in 1995 that simply says you have to provide a Social Security number. Just because the governor doesn't want to work with the legislature and he feels whatever he says is the right way to go doesn't mean he can do it. His actions are illegal.
So on that point, Senator Serrano, can the governor just snap his fingers and overturn a law that was passed by the legislature?
Well, I think it's the right thing to do. I don't view it as snapping his fingers. I think under much deliberation and thoughtful reflection, this is something that is very smart for the people of New York State. It will improve safety by having qualified drivers on the roads with driver's licenses instead of having unlicensed drivers. It will lower insurance rates for everyone in New York, and we know we pay some of the highest insurance rates throughout the nation. And it'll bring more people into the system.
Why would it lower insurance rates? I mean, do you really think if you're sitting here a year or two from now, assuming this has gone into effect, that anybody's going to see their car insurance rates go down?
Well, the issue of uninsured motorists is one of the reasons why insurance rates are so high. So in other states that have enacted the same policy, insurance rates have gone down by about a third.
And the connection is if you don't have a valid driver's license, you cannot buy auto insurance for your car, correct?
Exactly. That is the stipulation.
So what about that in Suffolk, Senator Flanagan? There must be a lot of illegal immigrants driving around with cars but without insurance.
Right. I totally disagree with the basic premise. Simply because someone is issued a driver's license doesn't mean they're going to have insurance. That doesn't mean that just because you get a license, you're going to have a car.
It's mandatory to have insurance if you have a car, actually, isn't it?
That's correct, but it doesn't mean that these individuals will have cars. So that doesn't mean that they're going to be going out and taking out insurance. I don't think this is going to do anything to decrease rates. In fact, I think it could actually go in the opposite direction. And this is actually a policy that should be debated. The governor never sought any input from the legislature. He certainly didn't come to the Senate. He never held any public hearings on something like this. He talked about it during his campaign, but now, again, he's acting by executive fiat, and he feels it simply because he says it's the right thing to do. He chides the Homeland Security Department, and he was quoted in Newsday as telling Director Chertoff to get the regs out and read them. He should read the statutes in New York because, again, he is acting outside his authority. He cannot do this without the legislature being involved and debating and going through the details of policies.
All right, Senator Flanagan, Senator Serrano, hang on for a couple of minutes because we have a few minutes right now, and you can only do it right now, with the mayor of Danbury, Connecticut, who I mentioned before. In Danbury, nine-day laborers are filing a lawsuit over a sting operation by local law enforcement that turned them over to immigration officials for deportation. And we are joined briefly now by the mayor of Danbury, Mark Boughton. Welcome to WNYC, Mayor. Thank you for coming on with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the sting operation first, as you see it?
Well, first of all, you characterized the operation wrong. This was not a Danbury Police Department operation. This was an Immigration Customs and Enforcement operation in which the city of Danbury provided logistical support. We do this all the time as a matter of standard operating procedure for any federal law enforcement agency that requests it. We're going to continue to do that, and obviously we disagree with Yale's interpretation of the events of that particular day.
That's a law clinic at Yale University, and fair enough. I should have said in introducing it that that's really the issue, isn't it? Is whether this was a local sting by Danbury Police or whether this was a federal immigration enforcement issue with the help of local police.
I don't think it's an issue at all, to be honest with you. I think that the record is clear, and it will prove clear in court, that this operation was an ICE operation. They are the ones that are empowered to enforce federal immigration law, and that's what they do, and we will provide assistance to them when it's necessary.
So why did you decide to involve local law enforcement in assisting federal immigration officials in this?
Well, we assist all federal law enforcement agencies when they request it. For example, the FBI, the DEA, Secret Service, all those organizations from time to time are in and out of town as they are engaging in their law enforcement activities. And then when they request support from the Danbury PD, we provide it, and we'll continue to do that.
The workers contend they were victims of racial profiling and that this extends not just to that roundup of day laborers, but also to traffic stops in the city of anybody who looks Hispanic on the possibility that they might be illegal.
That's just nonsense, and, obviously we completely disagree with that. We strive for a neutral application of the law here in Danbury, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of race, and regardless of your status. So at the end of the day, again, we're confident that the record is going to prove much different.
What's the underlying issue here as far as your city is concerned, as you see it? Are illegal immigrants as a population or day laborers as a particular group causing problems for Danbury?
No, I wouldn't suggest that the underlying issue is about a group causing issues for one particular community like Danbury. What I would suggest to you is that we have a fundamental question of law, of the law and of enforcement of the law, and it's bad public policy to ignore law. And if people are not here legally, they are, in fact, or have broken the law. And so for us to ignore that is not good public policy. Now, you can make a whole argument that it should be reformed, it should be changed, and that's probably true. But unfortunately, that's not been able to happen at the federal level. And so local municipalities, states, counties, and cities are left to pick up the pieces of just an absolute disastrous federal policy. And
but you wouldn't care so much about it, I wouldn't think, unless you saw some detrimental effects as opposed to positive effects. If there are these day laborers in Danbury, they're obviously doing work that somebody wants done and that kind of thing. Would the city be better off, in your opinion, if the abstract notion of the meaningfulness of the law was really abided by and suddenly those workers were to disappear?
I don't think that's the issue about making workers disappear. I think the issue is the underground economy, and the underground economy is bad for our economy. When you have people that are paid under the table, cash to do specific jobs, That's wrong, and that cheats the rest of the system and all those folks that participate in the above-ground economy and puts people on an unfair playing field. So I think the issue for America really is, do we need labor? Absolutely. Do we need immigrants? Absolutely. Then let's put a system in place that will allow those individuals who are standing on the street corner looking for work be here legally, collect taxes, pay taxes, and participate in the above-ground economy. That's the way we all benefit. But right now, when people participate in the underground economy, that puts pressure on a whole host of social services institutions in the city, hospitals, schools, anywhere you look, because they're underemployed and they're underpaid.
So are you for McCain-Kennedy-style comprehensive immigration reform, then, to legalize these folks who were standing on the corners of Danbury?
Well, no, I'm not. What I'm for is a, first of all, I think there's the problem with McCain-Kennedy and all the reform efforts is that there's a cynicism that pervades the public that no matter what Congress does, they're never going to enforce anyway, so why do it? Because they've never been able to demonstrate they can enforce current law. Remember, we did this in 86, we did it in 96, and here we are talking about in 2007, and the problem's only gotten worse. So first, the government's got to demonstrate that it's serious about enforcement, workplace enforcement, employer enforcement, interior enforcement, and border control. And then the next part of that discussion should be, what are we going to do with the 11 million people that are already here? To suggest that you can deport 11 million people is simply not rational and reasonable, but on the other hand, you can't continue on a system that rewards people that are working in the underground economy. That's a problem, and it hurts all of us, and we all pay a price.
Last thing, Mayor, I know you got to go. There was also a story in today's New York Times Metro section about Riverside, New Jersey, which famously enacted one of those ordinances a year or two ago that makes it a crime for landlords to rent to illegal immigrants and for other people to have certain kinds of contacts. And they have now repealed that law, as have several other cities and towns around the country that had enacted some, because the effect on the economy of Riverside turned out to be disastrous. What's your reaction as you view that action and reaction, and is there a lesson in it for your city?
Well, that's what that's. I don't necessarily agree with their assessment that that's why they repealed the law. It was my understanding they repealed the law because it won't stand constitutional muster, and it won't. I read that package of ordinances, and we would never do anything like that here in Danbury because I just didn't feel it was constitutionally viable.
Right. It's also costing Riverside a fortune in legal fees as they get sued.
They were thrown out in Hazleton, and now all the communities that enacted the similar provisions are being smart about it and saying, well, why should we, be sued and have to defend laws that aren't constitutional? So I think that's really the issue. In terms of the impact on the economy, look, there's no question that this country needs immigrants. We're built on immigration, but we're also built on laws. And if the first step that somebody makes into this country is to break a law, and then we reward them with citizenship, it sends a horrible message about what we value as the greatest nation on earth. And that's really what this is about. It's about crafting a policy that works, that recognizes we need immigrants and we want them to be welcomed here, but also that we have to have some kind of system to know who's here and who's among us.
The mayor of Danbury, Mark Boughton, thanks a lot for coming on with us. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll continue in a minute with Senator Serrano from New York City and Senator Flanagan from Suffolk County as we talk about Governor Spitzer's executive order that illegal immigrants be allowed to get legal driver's licenses. And we can take your phone calls on that at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment on our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and remember, you can take part in our latest crowdsourcing project. We hope you will. Remember when we asked you to count the SUVs on your block over the summer and compare it to the number of total cars? Well, this time, it's a project that we call Are You Being Gouged? And we want you to go to your local grocery store, anything, a bodega, a convenience store, supermarket, and find out the price of three common food items, because we're checking for price disparities around town to find out just exactly who in our area, anywhere in the tri-state area, who is being gouged to buy staple foods. So we are asking you to get milk, lettuce, and beer. I know you can't call beer a staple, but, you know, a lot of people buy it. So just take a few minutes to check out the prices, then report back to our website, WNYC.org, where we're asking you to post the results. And here are the exact goods that we're looking for to make this as easy and as standardized as possible. A quart of regular whole milk, just regular, non-organic whole milk, one quart. A head of iceberg lettuce. I know you'd rather buy romaine or arugula, but we're asking for a head of iceberg lettuce because it's out there. And a six-pack of 12-ounce bottles of Budweiser. So again, it's a quart of regular non-organic whole milk, a head of iceberg lettuce, and a six-pack of Budweiser 12-ounce bottles. If you've already posted your prices, we're going to have a follow-up assignment for some of you tomorrow. But for those of you who haven't, let's all participate in this, and we will find out exactly who is being gouged in our crowdsourcing project called Are You Being Gouged? Do it. Post the results on our website. You'll see the comments page right on our homepage at WNYC.org. So we're talking about Governor Spitzer's order that legal driver's licenses be made available to illegal immigrants, with two state senators, John Flanagan, Republican, who represents parts of Suffolk County, and Jose Serrano, who represents parts of the Bronx and East Harlem and Roosevelt Island. And we'll go to some of your many calls in just a minute at 212-433-9692. Our lines are actually full right now. And Senator Flanagan, I know that one of the criticisms of the governor's decision is what it will mean when the federal government's Real ID law is in place. Can you tell us what that law is and how you see the two related to each other?
Well, two things. That is being implemented over time, and it is obviously a federal piece of legislation, which is important, and it drives at the notion of having a driver's license as a very basic but important piece of identification. And the problem that we have is that the governor is willingly conferring legal status upon people who are here illegally. There are hundreds of thousands of people who go through the naturalization process, work within the system, and try and do things the right way. So I don't know why we are rewarding people who don't feel that they need to do that. Couple that with the fact that on the Real ID Act, then you're looking at what is going to happen at airports. What's going to happen to security?
So the thing is that
I have to get a passport.
Under Real ID, in order to get on an airplane, you're going to need what's considered a real legitimate ID that proves your citizenship or proves your legal status. And what else? To get on an airplane and what else?
I'm not sure that you're going to need anything else, but when you adopt a policy like this, your legal status is not determinable. There's not going to be any. You're going to have a valid driver's license from the state of New York, even though you're here illegally.
Right.
That's not the way it should be.
Senator Serrano, maybe you can remind me. I know that it's for getting on an airplane. What else is this Real ID supposed to check during what kinds of activities?
Well, just first and foremost, A driver's license has nothing to do with Real ID. Real ID is a program that will be implemented in the year 2013 that will supersede all requirements that we currently have for a New York State driver's license.
But I thought a valid driver's license can be used under that program as a Real ID because it's considered today something that proves your legal status in the country. Is that not correct?
No, because what's going to happen is that when Real ID goes forward, it's going to have a much stricter interpretation, meaning that the documents required are going to be more than just a driver's license. And I think that's the key, that's the essence to this argument, that a driver's license is not an immigration document. The DMV is not responsible for enforcing immigration laws. What this is simply doing is identifying drivers, identifying people who are qualified drivers. So the real issue here for DMV and their real job is to determine who the person is, not where they came from. So it's this sort of blurring of this conversation that is very unfortunate. There is nothing about having valid drivers on the road that has anything to do with immigration. And if you want to look at it in other ways, having immigrants have valid driver's license will create safer roads, safer streets, and will help upstate economies and economies out on Long Island where immigrant workers are so vital, work so hard, if they can't get around because they don't have a license. This will help remedy that issue.
Brian, that misses the very basic point of the Pataki policy that was adopted. It was adopted before September 11th, and it was with an eye towards security. people are being asked to provide nothing more than what they had to provide the federal government, not asking for any additional documentation. You wanted to apply to the federal government. All the state of New York said was, give us what you sent them, and they expanded the regulation because there was major concern about fraud and the potential for perjury and things like that, and the forging of documents. The policy was based on the idea that we want to have people who are here, and we're checking for the safety and security of the residents of our state.
Hang on. Let me play what Governor Spitzer had to say about that security concern. Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff did say it would prevent New York state licenses from qualifying for Real ID. But here is Governor Spitzer's response, which was played on WCBS Radio.
First of all, we don't know what Real ID is going to require. And I'd say to Mike, get the regs out, do your job, pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing. Homeland Security has bollocked up enough without their trying to tell us how to get involved in this right now.
And Senator Serrano, you wanted to say?
Well, that the new policy that's being put in place by the DMV actually has much more anti-fraud measures than we currently have. There's going to be better ways of verifying documentation, photo requirements. It's going to be much more secure with this new plan. And if someone was to look at the plan, there is a real effort to root out fraud and to also bring people out of the shadows and into the system. It's about safety. It's about safer streets. It's about safer drivers and safer roads.
Let's get a few phone calls in here. Robert in East Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Yes, I just want to say one thing. That I'm a Democrat. And my family are 30 members Democrats. We waited 10 years to come here legally. And what Edward Spitzer is doing is an outrage. We're not going to be Democrats anymore. We're going to be Democrat Republican because this is a horrible situation. This is rewarding these illegal immigrants to come to this country and to just basically giving Jay a palm on the wrist and say, don't do it anymore. This is not supposed to be that way.
Where is your family originally from, Robert?
Ecuador.
Right. And you don't have other family members or friends who are here out of status now from Ecuador who you would like to see legalized?
Yes, they are illegal, but I don't care. They are supposed to come here legal.
Okay, thank you very much. Roger in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roger.
Good morning. Good morning, I'm Ryan. My question is to Mr. Serrano. It was about the, first of all, I have a question. Is Governor Spitzer's license going to have a special marking saying that you're illegal, that you cannot get on an airplane? Because now, if Spitzer passes this law, my New York license, like North Carolina licenses, are going to be invalid. I'm going to have to present a passport.
That's not true. As it stands right now, quote-unquote undocumented immigrants are not prevented from flying. Showing a foreign passport is more than enough identification to get on a plane for domestic flights. So there is no checkoff box. There is nothing on this new driver's license that will indicate immigration status because that is not the issue here. The issue here is about safe drivers and qualified drivers. So as the law stands right now, you can get on a plane, fly domestically with a foreign passport, not a driver's license, so that it will not become invalid.
Well, but I'm not a foreigner. I'm a U.S. citizen. When I get on an airplane, I just need to show my New York State driver's license if I'm going from here to
That will not
California.
Change. That will not change.
It has changed because the people in North Carolina have to show something else because anybody can get a driver's license over there. It's not about driver safety. It's about identity and presenting it to get a job, cash checks, and give the perception that you're here illegally. If it's about driver safety, you would issue a special license like Arnold Schwarzenegger proposed in California, and all the open border advocates and Latino groups rejected that license. They didn't want a special license. They wanted to blend in and be normalized.
Senator Serrano?
Well, I think that's just the wrong notion. Immigrants are here. The overwhelming majority of immigrants who are here in this nation are here to put forward the American dream, are here to achieve what everyone else who's in this nation has achieved. And until federal immigration law is reformed to the point that it is sensible to the immigrants who are wishing to come here, they're not coming here to break the law. They're coming here to work. They're coming here to build the American dream. They're coming here to be, in many ways, the foundation of our economy. So to treat them as you're offering that we should, and treat them as criminals is just wrong. They're not criminals. They are trying to be a part of the American dream to build a better life for their family.
On Brian, in Queens. One second, Senator. Let me get another call. On in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
I'd just love to thank him for overturning it because a mother of two small kids, it's very hard to get around. And I would love to get my driving license back.
And you're out of status?
Yes, totally. I've been here 10 years. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with a tax ID number. I pay my taxes. They had no problem giving me that. Why can't they give me my driving license?
Exactly. Senator Flanagan, what do you say to Ann?
What I say is that we're missing a very fundamental part of this debate. Driving is not a right. It is a privilege. We have a whole set of laws and rules and regulations, and we tell people, if you're 16 and a young man or woman, you can't drive the same way you can as an adult. If you drive with a suspended license, we're going to get you. If you don't have insurance, we're going to get you. If you are guilty of DWI, we're going to get you. It's not a right. It's a privilege, and we have very stringent laws. And now what the governor is basically saying that, you know, as a fundamental premise, none of that matters because since you don't have legal status, we don't care about that. We're going to let you start off on an illegal footing and come into the system legally, and we're going to turn a blind eye towards what are the laws of the state of New York already.
Robert
said he had 30 relatives from Ecuador who have become legalized and naturalized into this country. Why can't people do that?
I think Ann really hit the nail right on the head. This is someone who's living and working in this nation, paying taxes, is as very much an American as anyone else who's here or who's a citizen. As she waits to achieve her citizenship or as anyone else does, it's just unfortunate that they are not allowed to receive a driver's license. It's keeping your head in the sand and fooling yourself and thinking that these immigrants are not going to be on the roads. They're going to be driving, and many times driving without a driver's license, and that's unsafe. This will remedy that issue. It will bring more insured motorists on the road. It will lower insurance costs for everyone across this state. It's the right thing to do, and it's the moral thing to do because immigrants are helping to build a society. They are not here to be criminals.
So what happens next, Senator Flanagan? It sounds like somebody's going to take the governor to court over this since you don't think this is legal.
Well, I introduced legislation in June which passed the Senate to put into statute the regulation that went with the existing statute. So, yes, we're going to have an argument over this. And, look, the Attorney General is probably going to have to get into the fray on this because he might have to remind the governor that the law says right now you need to have a valid Social Security number. So this debate has really just started, and it's unfortunate because the governor tries to rule by executive fiat. He makes glib comments about the Department of Homeland Security, but he thinks nothing of just saying, you know what, I think this is a good idea. I talked to the people that I like, didn't seek everybody else's input, and now I'm just going to drive it home.
By the way, Senator, we're just about out of time, but Senator Flanagan, before you go, we're going to have a guest on next from Riverside, New Jersey, where they've just repealed that law that would have penalized landlords for renting to illegal immigrants and some other things. And we heard from the mayor of Danbury with the situation with day laborers. You represent, among other towns, Farmingville, Long Island, which has also been a flashpoint for conflict over day laborers. Would you like to see the federal government come in and do the kind of sweep that they did that day in Danbury, just pretend they were employers, round up immigrants, day laborers on a street corner, and then check for the legal status and try to deport the ones who weren't?
Yes, I would, because the federal government is not living up to its obligation to enforce existing laws. I would join very clearly in the comments with the mayor of Danbury. They were thoughtful, concise comments on a very difficult issue. Enforce the existing laws while we engage in the policy debate of how to do real immigration reform.
But you're not
you can't do both.
But you're not going to do the kind of thing that Riverside tried to do?
No. No, I mean, it was clear that the statute that they alluded to was unconstitutional. I don't want to advocate something like that, and I don't think anybody should.
All right.
If I could just interject, I think it's very unfortunate. Everyone who's in this nation came from somewhere, unless you're a Native American. And the point is that everyone has had a right to come here. It's the American way to build a better society. That's why America...
But now it just sounds like you're really advocating totally open borders.
And, well, what the point is that trying to find these ways of cutting off Any kind of rights for immigrants who are here working very hard is unfortunate. Yes, there's a process, and they should become citizens. But the federal laws now are much more difficult. The path to citizenship is much more difficult now than it was many, many years ago. So I think it's unfortunate to compare apples to apples. It's not. And just one other point that I want to make.
15 seconds.
Senator Flanagan mentioned that the governor did not come to the Senate. Well, the bottom line is the deck is stacked. It's impossible to get legislation on the floor of the Senate because it's controlled so tightly by the Republicans.
So I guess we'll find out if he was in his legal rights to go around them. Senator Jose Serrano from the Bronx and East Harlem, Senator John Flanagan from Suffolk County, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC, and we will check in briefly now with David Verdwin. He's president of the Riverside, New Jersey Coalition of Business Owners and Landlords. He was never in favor of this law that's now been repealed. Mr. Verdwin, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
So tell us exactly what the law was in Riverside and why it got repealed.
Well, the law was actually against the business owners and landlords, made it illegal to rent to immigrants illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants, rather.
Were any landlords... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Or to actually have them work in any capacity within the town.
Were any landlords or employers actually penalized at the town level?
No. The law never went into effect.
It was passed, but it never went into effect?
No, because our lawyers went to the state superior court, and they had an injunction not allowing them to enforce it.
Though I read in the New York Times today that businesses were closing down, people were leaving, so even without going into effect, it had an effect?
Yes, it does have an effect because you have to realize that undocumented immigrants are living in fear. And that just naturally, many of them left, although there's still some here.
And the law was deemed unconstitutional. Why?
Well, the law was actually rescinded by the town.
Right, but you believed it was unconstitutional.
Well, it was an exact copy of the Hazleton law, which was proved unconstitutional, and a federal judge threw that out. I believe it was unconstitutional because only the federal government has the right to make laws and pass laws concerning immigration.
It sounds like your conclusion is that Riverside, New Jersey, is better off with its illegal immigrants than without them.
Oh, I think I do, right? Because what's the story of every small town is the commerce, the landlords, the businesses. I mean, if you have businesses closing, it's not good for a town. If you have houses up for sale because they can't be rented out, it's not good for the town. And, we already have a problem with the big stores on the highway or with the housing market as it is today coming down. We need people.
David Verdwin is president of the Riverside, New Jersey Coalition of Business Owners and Landlords. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Okay.
And we've now heard four views on how New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are all grappling with the illegal immigration question in new ways. In recent months, we heard from the mayor of Danbury. We heard from our guest just now from Riverside, New Jersey, and the two state senators from New York, and we'll continue to cover this issue. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, why men are getting happier in America and women are not.